I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, you guys, welcome to the Steel Wars Live call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars and technical faults because we have had a crazy time trying to, there's Blog Talk's having a bit of a glitch today, the good people at Blog Talk Radio, they need to make their power a little bit more immeasurable, I think. But we've got maybe a 10 or 15 minute blooper reel consisting of an amazing book review in the middle of that by my co-host today from Australia via LA. All about that geek bomb life. Welcome back to the podcast, Maud Garrett.
My goodness, thank you so much. I tell you, I'm not sure I'm entirely going to forgive you for what just happened, but a doggy paddled my way through that deep end.
Oh, no, you were doing amazing. It was quite, your mind became a real open book there for a while. You were really just voicing what you were thinking, and some of what you were thinking was not safe for work.
Yeah. I also realised that my warm up and, you know, to get into the zone, I liked to impersonate Forrest Whitaker, aka Saul Guerrero, doing a bit of Pokalup, which everyone who was on time managed to listen to. So there you go. Fun fact about Maud.
I was on time. I was here 15 minutes ago and I couldn't, I thought everything was fine. I don't know what's going on. I'm normally the rock of the show. But we will be taking your calls. So if you are listening live, the call-in number is, if you're in America, you can just dial the number on your mobile. If you're international, it's best to call in via Skype, a lot more cost-effective. And you just add a plus one to the number. So the little Skype boffins know to send the call to America, where the Blog Talk malfunctioning studios are virtually held. And the number is, so add a plus one if you're out of the country, 646-668-8360. And some hot talking points for the podcast, apart from book reviews, is that LA gets the Lucasfilm Narrative Museum. That is good news for me and you, Maud. We've got a new half season of Rebels.
Yes.
Premiered with the double episode last Saturday, and Woody Harrelson is in that Han Solo film. But more recently, very recently, actually, just maybe in the last couple of hours, StarWars.com has updated with a statement regarding new rumors, and the internet is a bit a flutter as normal. So the internet, when was the last time the internet wasn't a flutter, Maud?
My goodness, about anything, there's speculations, there's time to mourn. It all happens on the internet and all happens really quickly. I've got the statement up here in front of me, and I know that the original tweet that I'd seen in a Twitter timeline had been deleted, I think because they were jumping on a rumor and publishing it and stating it as true. But of course, you just need to check your facts. But StarWars.com has come forward saying, look, we don't normally respond to fan or press speculation, but there is a rumor circulating that we would like to address. We want to assure our fans that Lucasfilm has no plans to digitally recreate Carrie Fisher's performance as Princess or General Leia Organa. Carrie Fisher was, is, and always will be part of the Lucas family. She was our princess, our general, and most importantly, or more importantly, our friend. We are still hurting from her loss. We cherish her memory and legacy as Princess Leia and will always strive to honor everything she gave to Star Wars.
I applaud the statement. I also, funnily enough, it does fit in with what I would like to see happen. I think restraint is the key. Where do you stand on this one, Maud?
I think people are just going into a little bit of a panic almost, because they're like, but what now? What now? And I think it is smart for Star Wars to shut down that rumor. Apparently, she had filmed all of her scenes for Episode 8. What I know about Episode 8 is that she does play quite a big role in there. The fact that the rumor was making her CGI, I'm not a fan of that. I actually wasn't necessarily a fan of the CGI Tarkin. So, yeah, I'm probably not the best person to talk to about this. But you know what? Like,
yeah.
Poor thing, it's been so soon. Just simmer down.
Yeah. I think the rumor came from a BBC report that maybe got a few of the facts wrong. This is what happens when you get sort of like a mainstream press report on Star Wars, and which actually sends just shivers of terror through me about what else they get wrong. But sometimes they put a few, you know, facts together and they sort of jumble them up. And I think maybe they were talking about how, or maybe they got the reports about how Lucasfilm had gone to Peter Cushing's estate to get permission and blessing. And I don't know, obviously there's maybe some sort of financial agreement that they came to about that. And I think, like, because there's a CGI Carrie Fisher in the same film as Tarkin, and then the death came just after, I think maybe there was a little bit of a mishmash of facts there, and then the BBC put out this report, and then that report is then, you know, because it's in a mainstream paper or a mainstream press, it is then circulated around the world, and then fans sort of work off, you know, the BBC said it. So, because I sometimes see in the Herald Sun here in Australia, they, you know, there'll be like, you know, for instance, like the Woody Harrelson announcement, and then they might just confuse a few points here and there, sort of thing.
I agree with you, and I just think, not to bring up politics, but this is the worst time to kind of just keep adding to fake news.
I don't think it was fake news. I think it was confused news.
Anyone that said fake news once in their life ever. But not to get political. I think we just really need to kind of just let this settle down a little bit and let Star Wars and Lucasfilm and Disney kind of figure out what next move they will take with this. But I think that at the moment, like, we just need to mourn still. Like, it's just been so soon. Like, stop worrying. Obviously, it's going to be okay eventually. Just let that happen. And BBC, you just wanted to break a story and you shouldn't have.
Yeah, I don't like fault people for pondering it, or, you know, like fans writing, you know, tweeting, asking, you know, sort of wondering about it out loud, or podcasts and stuff. But I think Lucasfilm did the perfect thing with just putting out the statement, and here it is. Because it is, you know, it is something that people are going to wonder about, and there's going to be, you know, whether it's on purpose or not, misinformation or misreporting out there. Now it is settled. They covered all their bases. They said Princess and General Leia.
Yeah.
It does, you know, it does leave the window open that perhaps someone else might take the role. Who knows? The statement covers CGI. But as I've said a few times on the podcast, hard decisions. I do not envy them having to work out what to do, because there's a lot of wrong ways to do it, and there might not be a perfect right way to do it. So let's go to a call. Hopefully this works out. 714, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, oh, no. Patrick. Sorry, I had you muted.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Did you want to chat? Are you just listening in?
I got a question.
Patrick Bonfresco, who's doing show notes as we speak. While I say this, he's writing this down. Still, very meta-ly mentions the show notes as they're getting right.
Pato, were you writing down all my horse shit as well?
Yes, I was.
No! No! Oh, no! That's capital B-O-R space G-U-L-L.
Exactly. If you'd like me to post your Lost Stars review to Amazon, just let me know.
Oh, that's yeah, it's like, was it? Oh, help me, chat. Was it this place? I'm so sorry, everyone. I just feel like I have to apologize a lot now.
You did a bang up job, Maud. We won't have any of that negative talk. Patrick, what's on your mind, my man?
So just for fun, Lucasfilm is having their big meeting this month to talk about the future. And if either of you could be in the room, what would you tell them?
Tell Pablo, who are we talking to in said room? Who have we got access to?
I think it's everybody.
They're all in there, Maud. You've got Ryan Johnson. You'd have Colin Trevorrow, Pablo. Matt Martin might be in there. It's quite a... I would... You know, who wouldn't want to hear that conversation? I don't know. I all I want is ignite the green. So I'm just like, is he turning on that lightsaber in episode 8 or what? All right, you're saving it for episode 9 then? All right, as long as you're doing it. Promise me. What about you, Maud?
I'd take off Dave Filoni's hat. Just first. Just be like, is it rude to wear a hat inside, mate?
You can't leave your hat on.
I'd love to voice a character in Rebels, and I don't know how I would get around asking that in a question instead of sounding threatening and demanding. I'd give Kathleen a high five. I think she's been doing a great job. This is about episode 8. I don't know. I don't know what I would ask. I would just be so thrilled to be in the room.
Well, I'm looking for more, not what would you ask, but they give you a seat at the table while they map out everything post episode 9. What would you tell them to do?
Oh, this is bad of me. It's the first thing that came into my mind. Excuse me. Oh, my. What do you think that is? Is that a car about to hit your face? I would tell them to not rely on John Boyega to be the comedic relief. And I'd also say stop using CGI monsters that don't really serve a purpose. It just seems like filler. Oh, them fighting words, but that's what I would say.
Yeah, the
disagree with me, Phil.
No, I don't actually. It's so weird. We were talking about this on one of the shows the other day. The how do you say that? Is it boar de goose? Is that right?
Boar. How do you say gullet. Boar? Oh, you didn't boar hear gullet. It. You didn't hear it. Oh, it was like Forrest had taken over my microphone and was in the room.
It feels like that hits Rogue One almost. I want to find out how many minutes in that is, because it feels like that is the exact same amount of minutes when we saw the CGI monsters in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It feels like it's like the exact like 45 minutes or something into the film. It's like
they're like quick. We need a tentacle thing. It's contractually
we need more Rastars. But, yeah, I think it's about in the same place
as we saw the giant fish in Phantom Menace, too. That just seems to be the sweet spot for CGI monsters.
Oh, my God. Was that about 45 minutes in?
Wow.
And my goodness, for the clone, Attack of the Clones,
They save them for the end.
No, the humped little elephant herd that's on Padme's planet, Naboo, the top of Naboo. Yes, the giant tick.
And then in Empire, it's the asteroid little Edie monster.
I used to know those names. I used to know the name of those. What are they, Maud?
They start with M. I can't think of the name.
They start with M. I used to know it.
Monster. That's what it would be, monster. I guess I want to see the story. No, they're not Minox, but I'm talking about the big thing that they're inside.
Oh, the actual, I'm talking about the Minox.
Yeah, well, that's it's a dragon snake. I would tell them I want the story to keep going. Stop going backwards in time. Let's go forward. Let's keep pushing. Like, Star Wars is such this weird back and forth. I would like, you know, they sort of wanted to see how Rogue One would fare before they decided which way they went in you know, if it's more standalones or whatever. And I would say, just keep the story going. Follow Ray's story, take a break, and then come back and have her a little bit older. I want to see the saga continue throughout time.
Hey, Steele, it's called an exogorth.
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 You beat me to it. Yeah, exogorth.
My fingers were faster.
Wow.
Because we looked it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like that would just popped into your mind. But Ewan in the chat room was typing it furiously.
I can't see the
trivia
chat.
Contest for today. Yeah, but don't look at the chat more. Because
no,
then you're
I'm not allowed to.
Again. Yeah. You're not allowed. Well, thank you, Patrick. And get back to those sweet, sweet show notes, buddy.
I'm on it. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Cheers, man.
Thanks, Pato. Still, I think that they've done that before, though. Like the whole trilogy and following a Skywalker and then, you know, it progressing in time along with the actors. That's kind of been done. But I understand what you mean by when you go back in time. Like it does jump over the timeline. You're recreating actors and characters that were, you know, supposed to be 30 years before. There is a little bit of a bad continuity when it comes to how technology seems to be unadvancing and then re-advancing. But that's interesting. That's what you want.
Yeah, I enjoy, you know, the thought of standalone films and stuff. But I think if they keep just putting films in between these two films or whatever, I think in the end the galaxy, like, it will collapse. It'll be too hard to wedge things in and make it fit. And I don't know. I just think they're... Like, people now, oh, let's get a film between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And it's like, why? They, like, aren't you second-guessing George Lucas a lot when you have to fill in all these, like, little bits? Like, go forward or go way back. That would be exciting at all as well.
I think he's playing it super, super safe because Legends, well, the expanded universe then, they had access to anything. So they just went for it and there was no continuity and everything kind of just imploded. They had playing it super, super safe. See this window here. We hear a name. Let's use this person and tell their entire story, which won't actually impact the main story at all. We'll weave in their story to how they could possibly have interacted in this particular timeline. And then it looks like we're showing so much, but we're actually just kind of building out from. It's like the spider web. You've got the whole Skywalker story right in that little center, and they're just weaving it out. So it's still in line with what's going on.
Like, don't take things that were novels and make them films. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, something, say, between Empire and Jedi, it just seems like that's a novel or a slightly disappointing comic series. You know? Save it for that.
So far, the comics have been pretty great. The comics have been pretty amazing. And if I could see Lost Stars, the comics, the books I'll have a chat with you about, but the comics have been... I've been liking it. They haven't been going overboard. They haven't been doing run after run. They kind of do short and sweet.
Yeah, I get offended. I don't like when Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, they've just come across each other a few too many times in the comics for my liking. And I like it when they go off, like when they in the Darth Vader comic, when they show like the machinations with like all the Imperials and Darth Vader getting blamed for the Death Star and that. Oh my God, that is the best. But when Darth Vader's got two wacky sidekick droids that just want to kill,
that was the best part of Knights of the Old Republic, KOTOR. It was bloody the meatbags, a death droid. I'm going to get butchered for saying death droid.
But that's not Darth Vader. Darth Vader doesn't tolerate such... Like, he definitely doesn't from humans. He's strangling people left, right, and centre.
Don't you think that it was harnessing his previous life and he was just like, oh, this reminds me of what I used to have, but now I've got the evil version, which is all I feel these days, evil and anger?
Oh, yeah, that's... I guess. But I don't... I don't like it. I don't like it.
You don't have to like
it. Let's go to our next... I'm going to buy it anyway. Thanks.
Tickets are on sale for Steel Wars Live Podcast at the Adelaide Fringe Festival on Saturday the 11th and 18th of March with live I Love Green Guide Letters podcast directly after at the Warehouse at the Producers Bar. Plus, my new stand-up show, Steel Saunders The Enthusiast, which focuses a lot around my Star Wars fandom, is on at the Producers Bar from the 14th of March till the 19th. Six shows only. And Melbourne International Comedy Festival, we are doing three live Steel Wars podcasts on the 1st of April, the 8th of April, and the 22nd. We're missing one weekend this year for Star Wars Celebration Orlando. As well as in the first 2 weeks, I will be doing Steel Saunders The Enthusiast, and there's also six I Love Green Guide Letters live podcasts as well. You guys can get all the ticket details at steelwars.com. And yes, there are tons more live shows to be announced in the first half of this year around the world. Cannot wait.
Let's go to Skype caller. Who are you and where are you calling from? Will anything go right today? Normally this is really smooth. Skype caller, you are about to get put back on hold.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, who's that?
Wow, I can't believe I figured it out. This is Andrew Minutes from Melbourne. Hi, guys.
Ando.
Hi. Andrew, I feel like we could have saved time and just have you come around to my house and chat. But what is on your mind today in Star Wars? Apart from the professionalism of Star Wars podcasting.
I didn't really have a question in mind when I rang in. I was just trying to crack this Skype puzzle that has troubled me for so long, and I finally did it. I realised you got to pay. I'm really happy about that. But while I've been waiting on the line, I thought of something I did want to ask you, Steele and Maud. I've sort of gotten pretty heavily into the fandom this last year or so since discovering a few funny podcasts that I like, such as your own and Star Wars Minute and so on. And I'm really not a fan of heavy-handed stuff in Star Wars. And I'm just wondering if it's only me or if anyone else out there thinks that some of Dave Filoni's contributions through the cartoons are a bit heavy-handed. And what I mean by that are things like holocrons and kyber crystals and witches and night sisters and magic and Ezra's eyes turning green when he looks at Darth Maul and stuff like that, that for me just doesn't feel like the Star Wars I sort of grew up with and loved.
Ando, what's happening right here is that we're adults watching what's technically a children's show. So it is going to be completely laced with a bunch of ham and cheese that we didn't sign up for. And this is them spelling it out clearly so that the kids don't get lost. Unfortunately for us, we're just like, oh, could you make it more on the nose if that's possible? But don't let it stop you. It almost feels like, again, it's this thing where they're trying to not do so much that it's going to implode again. So Filoni's got a list of things that he's got access to that he's allowed to explore a little bit more. Being kyber crystals, you know, the kids are like, what's a lightsaber? And it's like, right, we're going to spend four episodes. I don't know if you've seen the Clone Wars series one, where they have the younglings build their own lightsaber. I actually thought that was pretty cool. I liked it. I didn't know that a Wookiee could have a wooden saber, but that's cool. You know, whatever. Whatever floats your boat on Kashyyyk. Maybe it's, oh my God, I can't believe I missed that pun. You would say his saber was a bit Kashyyyk. Kashyyyk, get it?
Wow.
But, why did you ask?
Let's move on from that. I agree with you on some of the points, Andrew. I bet I have to, like, things like kyber crystals and holocrons, they're definitely not Dave Filoni creations, although he has, you know, given them a lot of fame. They were definitely things that were around in the old Star Wars canon. But I guess some of the cartoony things, and this is the problem when, like, and the confliction in Star Wars Rebels, that they want all these adults to watch this kid show, and it creates this thing of like why who is the main target for this show, and you can't say it's just kids. They market it to adults. You know, just when you look at Celebration, like at the big panel there.
Yeah. I feel like franchises like that have to appeal to such a vast audience, like to cater for a 5 to 55-year-old market is so difficult. And I think that's when a lot of the time they can't do it right, which is what we're experiencing with these shows as well.
Yeah, stuff like the Green Eye.
Okay, you two, in your corners, time out. That's enough. Ando, you're the guest. You go first. Still, you shut your mouth, mate.
All right, I'm going. All right, I can't deal with these delays. Sorry, guys. So, I almost wonder if it might be better, rather than trying to cater to everyone in these one particular show, such as Clone Wars and such as Rebels, which end up, like you rightly said, there's 40-year-olds at conventions or all over Facebook and social media who are watching this stuff as well. I was in a shop yesterday with a bunch of 40-year-old men looking at pop vinyls. So, you know, they've got to appeal to adults as well. And I always wonder whether it's better to do something that's overtly for kids and then something that's much more targeted towards adults. And, like, I'd always add to that the Lego Star Wars, which isn't proper canon or, you know, anything like that, I find a lot more enjoyable because it's just fun. And some of it's actually well written. There's some good gags in there. Whereas I watch Rebels. I've watched every episode of Clone Wars in this last year or so, almost forcing myself because it's like, oh, I like Star Wars. I'm going to try and like this stuff. But... yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how much more I can put up with of it with all the magic and stuff.
Yeah, some bogus episodes.
Sorry, Phil, you go.
That's all right.
No, seriously, you should go now.
Oh,
I feel really bad for interrupting.
this delay of having me call in is killing me. The problem is something that Lucasfilm has created because... maybe in a perfect world, they've got this Lego The Freemakers Adventures, which I think is meant to be in canon, but it's like a distant, it's a distant storyline that just sort of doesn't affect the main sort of saga. And they should have that for the kids, and then maybe Rebels needs to be bumped up just to a slightly bit more sophisticated level of animation or storytelling, and like young kids can keep up, like, do you know what I mean? You don't have to aim so low, and it's their problem because they've said this whole thing is this big unified story. So hey, grumpy 40-year-old, you know, have to watch this to follow on, and there's going to be little hints and clues for the film. So they've like when. People sort of say, oh, it's a show for kids. It's like, yeah, but it's marketed to adults. And that is, it's undisputable.
It's marketed to fans. And a lot of the fans happen to be adults. I think that's what's going on as well. I wasn't so in love with Rebels' view on their animation. I thought it looked a little bit kitschy, a little bit kiddie. But I kind of, you know, if you can put that aside, you do get the snippets of information that it is worth it. And the way that Star Wars, the only place that Star Wars can really provide separate content for the youths and the adults is in the books. So they've got colouring in books, they've got their young adult books, and then they've got their adult audience books. And so it's like, that's the only safe way I feel that they can kind of spread the content.
Okay, that's really interesting. I think, like, Maud, that's a fascinating point, and I only wonder, like, because I'm a bit of a lazy adult that doesn't read as much as I should, maybe I'm missing out on some good canon.
But did you not have my book with you?
I read a few of them, and they're pretty good. But also, still, I think you hit the nail on the head there, is that they don't have to aim so low, which hadn't occurred to me before. And I think the perfect example of that is that a lot of us got into the original Star Wars films when we were tiny kids, and... there were things we took from it as kids, but then as we grew older, there were, you know, really different things we took from it. And you can do something that's intelligent and good, and kids will still love it. So, yeah, that's been very enlightening. Thank you both.
And I'm not sure how old you are, and I would never dare ask, but at the same time as, you know, your 1977, 79, et cetera, there was also the Ewoks cartoon that came out in the early 80s.
So that was another way that they really kind of pandered to the kids, so that the kids had an Ewok cartoon that I would watch religiously. I can even hear the theme song in my head, Ichiwawa. But then they had, you know, they maintained the more adult content too. So I think we're still seeing that, but everyone just wants so much of all the Star Wars content out there for fear of missing out on anything, any bit of any snippet, so that we're just watching it, what is probably not supposed to be for us, but it's just trended to be that way.
Yeah, I disagree. I disagree on that, Maud. I think it is they're having their space cake and eating it too. Like they've said, they want people to consume it all, and they've baited people into it. And but then the out is when it doesn't suit, you know, when they have like a goofy, oh, it's for kids. But it's like
It is and is. I mean, the themes that we're seeing in this season, like, you know, I don't know how spoilery this is, but Kanan's blind. He lost his eyesight. And a couple of times he'll lift his mask up and you can see, like, the scarring damage and dead eyes. Like, that's not something that is safe for a five-year-old, but it's still a cartoon, I guess. You're not going to see blood.
Well, hasn't Kanan's blindness just really affected the character?
Yes. Like, absolutely. Absolutely.
You reckon? It hasn't. Not at all.
Yes, it has.
Double episodes, and you would not even know he's blind.
No, as a character. Oh, I'm talking from a hardcore fan perspective where the character actually Kanan, sure, he looks like he's got some groovy goggles now. He has been withdrawn. He is questioning himself. He has to rediscover the Force. Don't you start me on that, because that is a slippery dip. I will slide down, son.
But what episode are you up to? How they sowed that seed so early in season 3?
You two, you're doing it again?
it's just lagging because I'm calling in. Maud, what episode are you up to?
Look, okay, here's the fun thing. I started season 3 last Saturday, and then you hit me up saying you wanted to talk about those two specific episodes, and I think I've got about 12 minutes left of part 2 to go because I tried to quickly sneak it in before this so it wouldn't spoil it for me.
All right.
So I've seen the first four episodes.
Double episode that I said to watch, how did his blindness affect him at all?
I was reading an email. Can you try that again?
Oh, sorry. So in that double episode,
yeah,
how did Kanan's blindness affect him?
Well, I was mainly referring to the first four episodes, which I've only just seen. But there's, what, like 5 in between that I haven't been privy to?
Yeah. Like, I think they sort of, they tackled it at the start and with the episode, at the episode with the Bendu and stuff. But then after that, it's just, if you watch that episode, you go, oh, that character just wears a sweet mask. And there's a lot of characters in that show that watch a sweet mask. I just think it hasn't been the big sort of character changing thing that I would have thought.
Because I think they could only really afford to do it for about four or so episodes, because, you know, when you look at the small crew, every single one of these characters has to be fleshed out and developed and progress. That if you kind of keep him pathetic, then the show falls apart, because Zeb's not going to step up and be Ezra's mentor. Ezra at this particular stage is getting so drawn to sort of the dark side, he's in a very vulnerable position with his teachings, that you need Kanan there. Like, if that makes sense.
I think they're just avoiding it. But Andrew, where do you stand on the blind Kanan issue? The topic that's winning this podcast apart.
Sorry, Maud, I'm with Steele on this one, I reckon. Particularly the Bendu and the way they sowed that seed so early in season 3 after he's just become blind, and the Bendu said something along the lines of, oh, yeah, there's a way with the Force to teach you to see again.
Look
or something
harder.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, how is that? Yeah.
Did you know who voiced the Bendu character?
Oh, I saw that, but I didn't know
it's
who
Tom
that person
Baker.
Was, so it meant nothing to me. Who
Tom
is
Baker,
that again?
The fourth Doctor? Is he the fourth Doctor? Doctor Who, Tom Baker.
Right.
And
right,
now that
okay.
I know that,
that's pretty cool.
When you know that information and you listen to it again, you realise what a kook the man is. But he's done such a great job. I really liked that. I didn't mind that scene. I think giant kind of elemental creatures and animals that have an understanding of the Force, is this curveball that you're saying, Ando, that throws you off a lot, especially with the witches and the... Oh, I didn't mind the Dathomir backstory, actually. But here we are, Ando, three adults, definitely, I'm going to assume in our 30s, talking about rebels. So you two can jog on. Thank you.
Maud wins. Shit.
Thank you. Thanks,
oh,
guys.
God, Maud wins after all that.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Andrew. Don't be a stranger next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Ando.
Bye.
You'll see a scene soon, Steele, where obviously everyone's going to be something, in homage to Mendo.
I want Mendo and Rebels so bad. I want Mendo and Rebels so badly. Please, please, please.
Now, he's alive, Lord, isn't he? He fits the time frame.
Yeah. I want to see Thrawn versus Mendo in a white-suited Imperial face-off.
Can you please cosplay as Mendo? It needs to happen. I don't know if this conversation's been brought up before, but get that sweet, sweet cape and be flanked as well by some death troopers. I'm sure you could figure it get some people.
I'd love to be flanked. I'd love to be flanked. Maud, on what happens is we've got about 2 minutes left on the stream, but the show goes into overtime. We've got two more callers. 201 and 608 that will get in bonus time. But before we get sliced off from the main transmission, tell the good people of the internet where they can see you in a slightly...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
More professional environment than the ramshackle show we've put out today.
Oh, that's fantastic. You can catch me on social medias at Maud Garrett, MaudGarrett. And if you guys want to join me in book club every week, we're currently doing Ready Player One. I've been championing for Catalyst. I really want to cover that book. But that's on the Alpha Network. I think it's just joinalpha.com. And that's Wednesday nights on a Nerdist set online. That's the only thing I'm currently, I think, allowed to say. So there you go.
Well, you've said so much already. And if you want to catch up with...
I'm trying to defend myself because I'm still embarrassed. I had to mention that I was on a book club because I just spent 20 minutes giving a book review.
and
I need a credibility.
That will be in the extra segment. And you can hear Maud on how we did a breakdown of the trailer on Steel Wars and also the LA Podfest episode. So we are about to go into bonus time. We'll be on the same time next week for episode 20. And I'm going to do a secret test show in the meantime to make sure everything works. Let's go off into that bonus section.
I'm sorry.
All righty. We are in bonus time. We have got 201 on the line. Who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Robbo.
Robbo!
Robbo from New Jersey, Maud, is...
No, it's Maudo.
Is one of our... is one of our most popular and opinionated callers. So I cannot wait for Robbo's question and or statement. The floor is yours, Robbo.
Hey, you guys. I hope you enjoyed that wild, mishap-ridden journey through the live call-in show. Sometimes technology lets us down. And if you want to stay tuned after this little sizzle of things that are going on in Steel Wars land, you'll get to hear Maud introduce the show by herself and do her epic Lost Stars book review. And then after that, there'll be another little bonus section where I do a little mini clip with Patrick Von Frisco, our show noter. We did a quick little test broadcast to make sure it was just a glitch on Blog Talk, which it was. So there's a little bit of extra Star Wars chat after Maud's epic book review. And if you want to be a part of next week or this week's live call-in show, my potential co-host in California has not hit me back yet, but I will give you the times and I'll announce who it's going to be on social media once that comes to hand. Friday the 20th, if you are in America, LA, it's 6 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. East Time, it's 9 p.m. Friday night, the 20th. In London, sadly, it is Saturday the 21st of January at 2 a.m. in the morning. Perth, you are Saturday the 21st of January at 10 a.m. Melbourne, Sydney, 1 p.m. And Auckland, you are 3 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/Steel Wars. All the links are all over the website and on social media. And call in. Be a part of it. It is super fun. Or just hang out, listen live, and chat with our very fun listeners in the live chat room that Blog Talk Radio puts on while we are live. Of course, Maud and I did record more call-in show for supporters. So if you're a supporter, you'd be listening to that right now instead of me blithering on. We went about another half hour, and Robbo is back. One of our favorite callers called in with his first Rogue One thoughts. He is a now infamous caller to the live call-in show, and he did not let us down in this bonus section. In fact, I think he called in to ask if we had any questions for him, which was an interesting tactic. We get a preview of Maud's soon-to-be-written Borgolot fan fiction, and we talk about the one thing we'd change about Rogue One, The Purge and other stories we'd like to see written into the new canon, the sexual exploits going down in young adult Star Wars fiction, Woody Harrelson in Han Solo, and much, much more. And to become a Steel Wars supporter, it is $3 Australian a month, which is about $2.25 American, and you get full access to our back catalogue of full-length Steel Wars interviews. There's 100+ of them, and then you get all the bonus shows, like the after call-in show bonus sections, and then special exclusive shows on the supporter feed. The Q&A episodes, the Making Steel Wars episode where me and Jason Ward from MakingStarWars.net hear the stories behind the stories. We're in our second episode and it's getting really good reviews and I love doing it. And Gonk and Steel's Trash Compactor, my good friend Tony Medina, the Gonk Droid, is back with a definite listener favorite. Me and Gonk just shooting the breeze about whatever happens that week or pops into our mind in Star Wars. It is super fun and it keeps the podcast going. So if you want to sign up for that, it's all done through bandcamp.com. The link is on steelwars.com. And you also get the main podcasts without any ad interruptions, which I know a lot of listeners really enjoy. But I've got to pay the bills, you guys. That's why they're there. But if you chip in a couple of bucks a month, I don't need to do that. So got to keep the content coming whilst keeping the cat fed. A new traditional classic. Is it Steel Wars Classic interview episode will be up tomorrow as well. So keep your RSS feed or your podcatcher or your web refresher or your iTunes account in top order. And I'll be back in your ears then. Thank you guys so much. Stick around for Maud's book review. And may that force be with you.
Blog Talk Radio. Hello? 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 Hello. Bogalit. Bogalit. Bogalit.
Oh, now I can hear me.
Fuck. Okay, well, I can hear myself, like 30 seconds later. And I can't hear anything else. Ah! I totally got caught out just then. This is very, very hard to do. Hi, guys. Welcome to Steel Wars, blogtalkradio.com. I'm going to have to take out my earphones because I really don't want to hear me make an absolute freaking idiot of myself. I'm not sure what's going on. I've got Steel on Twitter in my inbox, and I can see the chat. So that's something that's quite exciting. My imagination about this whole thing is that we talk about the events of Star Wars this week, but I want to say hello to some of the guests that are here. Hello, Adam, Carl, Judy, Ellen, Emily, guest 1927, guest 1974, 2030, 2035, Lee, and Tom Chansky. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday night. During the LA Podcast Festival, where we were reading. Now, can I put my headphones in? I can't hear anything if I don't have it in. Now I'm squawking. I don't want to be a squawker. I can't hear you, dude. Oh, no. Hello? Oh, hello? I'm trying this way. Hello? I'm trying to do what I did last time. Oh, I'm back on. Oh, no. This is the most embarrassing episode because it's just... All it is you listening to how I prepare or warm up. Oh, man. So, Steele's, I've got him on Twitter direct message, and he's saying, I think it's me. And I'm not sure entirely what that is. So until he tells me to bugger off again, I'm going to totally hijack his show because you're all there in the chat. There's 14 of you, and there's one of me. And my name is Maud, and I'm one with the Maud, you know? So, Steele, if you can hear me, ha ha, bugger off, mate. It's me. I don't know if you need me to add you in. I'm not registered. I don't have Skype credit. Not happening. Yes, now you totally get my my inner thoughts. I say Borgullet and I also say I sing a little bit. Hello everyone in the chat. Welcome to Steel Wars' show. I am not Steel at all. a lot of big news happening this week. I don't know if I should get started because I don't know if he's going to repeat everything that I'm going to say anyway. So I'll go to the chat and talk about capelets versus capes. As someone with a capelet, I'm quite a big fan of it, I'll have you know. Very cold arms, though. Doesn't quite keep you warm. Don't recommend it for Hoth. Still also don't recommend lying in a tauntaun. That's another story. Adam's asking me, do I love Star Wars? Oh, it's okay, I guess. That's why I'm here on a Friday night on a Star Wars podcast to talk about it. Yes, Lee Astle, you may refer to me as Lord Maud because I'm Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. Steele's given me permission to host the show.
Little does he know that I'm going to cause mass destruction.
Ellen Saldivar said your episode of was the best of the drunk list for the half hour happy hour. Well, Ellen, I have a feeling that you listen to a lot of podcasts. I know that I should listen to podcasts, but I'm actually really into audiobooks, which is the world's best segue to what I want to talk about for the next 3 minutes. I am currently listening to Lost Stars by Claudia Gray. And I say listening to because it's an Audible book. And when you do listen to Star Wars books, they have access to all of the Lucasfilm archives and sound bites and soundboards and everything, basically. So when you're being told about this story, it uses the best sound effects alongside with it. And I really think that it increases just the escapism in a way. So here I am driving my car and all of a sudden it's, you know, a TIE fighter. Not a bad deal. The story is supposed to be aimed for young adults, and I tend to not mind reading a young adult novel. I find that this one is a Star Wars story that we haven't really seen before. Usually when it's a love story, we've seen Han pretty much put the perv attacks on Leia for a good movie and a half before she finally succumbs to the bad boy vibes. In this particular one, you're on an outpost in a way called Jellocan. And Jellocan is one of the outer worlds, one of the planets on the outer rim that was kind of a desperate scenario, a desperate case where people decided to found this planet and relocate there and see if it was survivable. And it kind of was, but not in a great way. And the sectors were a little bit divided. We had those who lived in the valleys who were a little bit poorer. They kind of lived in the slums, I guess you could say. But, you know, they were the farmers, I guess. I guess, because it's just me. I don't have anyone telling me anything otherwise. And then you've got, you know, the guy who had a little bit more money, the areas where they're the first something. Anyway, these two kids, all they do is look up and see all these cool spacecrafts and vessels and pilots, and they're like, that's what I want to do. And, of course, in this era where it's set, it is just before the explosion of the Death Star, the Empire has kind of planted its seeds, so obviously it is the only form of ruling that is in effect at the moment, since Jedi have long since passed because of Order 66. It took place however many decades before. Someone will tell me. I'm sure you will. And so these two kids, one's called Thane and the other one's called help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, your only hope. Sayena. Yes. Cool. So Sayena and Thane are kids on Jellocan, and they both have the identical goal to train with the Imperial Academy and become pilots. And of course, it's a young adult novel, they're the best. They're so good. They go through this training and they have the best time ever, and they become basically the best pilot co-pilot duo that, you know, the Academy's seen. And it's very, very interesting seeing what the Academy is like, because these are young adults. Oh, it's a young adult novel. But you see them through their training programming. And I always kind of wondered that when watching these movies. You see so many faceless men. They're all behind masks. They're all stormtroopers, and they're so lumped together. And it wasn't really until The Force Awakens where the helmet came off and you saw a person underneath it. Instantly, though, John Boyega's character Finn suddenly has a rush of emotions, even though the small exposition that you get of his character shows that he's been in training since he was a child, and he's a number, not a name. And I kind of felt that it was a little bit of a, you know, does not compute moment for me when he all of a sudden feels so much for his fellow soldier who dies in battle. And, you know, I was like, but this is who you are. You've been completely programmed as a person. So seeing the Academy and how they train and the regiments in that, it makes a lot of sense. And I really love exploring that side of the Empire. Of course, the more we get through this story, the more you realize it becomes a bit of a Romeo and Juliet story. Not quite forbidden love, but these two people start growing apart in their ideologies. So Sayena really is all about loyalty, a good, honest job. She believes in the empire in the way that she knows that what they're doing will be for the greater good eventually. She doesn't see it as an evil.
Hey, Maud, can you hear me now?
Or a totalitarian society. She sees it as, doing the best, doing the right job, doing what's best for the galaxy. Whereas Thane starts seeing the cracks in the Empire's rulings.
All right, Maud can't hear me, but you guys on the chat room can hear me.
A helpless kind of society being imprisoned just because a couple of people, or like as a whole, they decided that they weren't going to completely fold to the Empire, and so they were enslaved. And he was like, I don't care what the Empire says, that is just wrong. And then they actually are there around the time of the Death Star being blown up. And it's great seeing one of them going, you know, you've just eliminated an entire planet with millions and millions of people. That was a peaceful planet. And then Diana going, but they have to do that to stop more wars from happening. They have to send a message so great that it would end this once and for all. So I kind of love both sides of the story. I'll still turn to you. No, I'm on a roll, mate. Yeah.
Maud, can you hear me?
Now I can.
Oh my God.
You said, yeah, you go. I went. Yeah.
I'm not sure what's happening with Blog Talk Radio. I had to actually call into the show. So I'm.
So that's why I can hear you twice then. I can hear you in my ear. Oh, wait. Let me get rid of that.
So
hold on.
Now
I can hear you. Yeah, I've lost the chat. I just had a little bit of a book review, Steele. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, I was reading. I was listening to it, and I was having a great old time. But, I don't know what was happening at all.
With this technology that we're trying to master, I'm not sure what's happening either. We've tried a bit of everything.
Well, not,
I've tried the computer.
Well, normally it does work pretty well, but it seemed like for some reason on that host line, no one in the chat could hear me. So it's, very strange. But how about we will... And I did this massive intro at the start as well, thinking that everyone could hear me but you.
I didn't hear a damn thing. Did anyone hear anything? Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
All right, so let's go off the chat room. Does Maud and I sound normal now? Chat room.
I can't look at the chat room, can I?
Yeah, I know, but I can.
I'm going to look at it on my phone. I'm going to be real tricky. I'm going to have a not blonde moment and be pretty smart about it.
All right, we are hearing that we are sounding good. So,
let's do it then. What's your intro? Give us your intro, love.
How about we restart and then we can put whatever happened at the start of this at the end of the podcast as a little extra for everyone.
Oh, lovely. My book review. Oh, everyone's like losing sleep wanting to know the rest of that.
But I think there might be weird bits where it records us both talking, but none of us are hearing each other. So it's me going, yeah, Maud, yeah, hey.
Oh, it's very serendipitous. Sliding doors.
Let's go for a restart, and then we can talk about the book review, which you're doing a great job at. I was very much enjoying.
This is like the panic of everyone's life, where you look up and your producer is furiously telling you to stretch, and like to stretch for 5-10 minutes, and you're like, fuck it, all right, let's go. I just had that.
And what was Zelda in the room or something? There was some weird noises for a moment there.
What do you think that was? I mean, I had a little bit of sing-along.
There was growling. I thought you were going to read my mind. all right. We'll go for the clean start, hopefully. Here we go.
All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Patrick, can you hear me?
I can.
What was wrong before then?
I have no idea. That was so bizarre.
Weird.
We can put this at the end, and then it can prove that it was Blog Talk, not me. Because I have changed. Yeah. I've changed not a thing.
I can hear.
What was I like to write show notes for?
Well, I had an original version. I had to scrap it and start all over once you got in. It was kind of like writing Rogue One, I guess.
Oh man! What's you got any Star Wars chat? What are you feeling Star Wars wise?
I don't know. I know they're having their meeting, and I'm just kind of waiting and hoping that they're going to tell us what's coming up. But I know it won't be till Celebration, so I'm just getting antsy. I want to know what's next. You know, everyone talking about. Oh, say, go ahead.
You've got Geonosian ants in your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's so sure that they're going to announce an Obi-Wan movie, but they may surprise us. I mean, it could be something completely different. I'm very curious.
Yeah. Well,
kind of want to find out if they're going to have any plans to still do the Boba Fett movie, or if they're just it's completely tranked.
Yeah, I don't think. Like the Obi-Wan one, I don't want. So, and the fact that they've gone back to Obi-Wan in Rebels.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes me think we're probably not getting that movie.
Yeah. And do you know who we haven't seen in Rebels? Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What we're talking about on the podcast is like just filling everything in. It's mm-hmm. just like go off into some weird directions, and I just don't know what. I don't know. I just in my mind, Obi-Wan just stayed on that planet, and
yeah,
if he just stayed on that planet, like, and I know they had a book about it, but the book wasn't like it was. Like, it was a good book, but I don't think it's a good movie. But the Obi-Wan Kenobi one.
Yeah, well,
Kenobi.
That's the difference. To me, that's the difference of what you can do in a book versus comic versus a movie. I don't know that I want to see a Star Wars movie that only has one planet in it. That doesn't feel Star Wars to me. And yet, I'm with you. He should never leave the planet. So, how is that Star Wars? Planet War, you know? And I'm also with you. I want to see them move forward in time. I think I'm done with this time period, at least for a while. And I think that
can I ask you a question, Pat?
Episode 9. Yeah, sure.
It's a bit personal. Mm-hmm. Are you writing show notes down for what we're talking about right now?
I probably should be.
You could write down the notes in advance. This is groundbreaking. You write the show note in advance, then you say it.
That's what I'll do the next time I call in. I'll write out what my question is. Just have it ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Steele, I have to ask this question because it's already in the show notes.
Yeah, they wait there. So let's work this out. So Star Wars Celebration 2017. Then when's Han Solo come out? 2019. No, mm-hmm. 2018.
2018.
Episode 9, 2019.
Mm-hmm. And see, at that point, I feel like any of the standalones they do, we could fill in the gap between Jedi and Force Awakens, but I don't know how much they would tell us about them in advance because they might feel like it gives away. I don't know. I think at that point, it's time to move into that period.
But that's the thing with the Star Wars, like how it's been set up, is, you know, you don't want to spoil anything for episode 9, so you don't do anything between episode 6 and 7. And then you do. But then
but
what
point,
you reveal...
Now you're moving backwards again.
Yeah, and then you're just like, it's sort of like, what order do you watch it in now? And like, even with when you watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like, I don't actually think it works as far as setting up the galaxy and the Force and stuff. I'm not really sure it does it that well when you watch it in that order. What do you think?
I just feel like you have to start with A New Hope. And just, like, maybe that's just because how I was raised and I can't imagine starting anywhere else. I've been trying to think if I know anybody that watched it starting with Phantom Menace. And I feel like most people I know that jumped into it late, somebody kind of guided them through what order to watch it, and they all started with A New Hope. So I don't know. I don't know how that would work. I just don't feel like it would be the same.
Interesting. Interesting. What else is going on? Pat? You been to Disneyland much lately?
I've only been back to California for a week, and I haven't gone yet, although I may go tomorrow. So we shall see. I'm meeting some friends in downtown Disney to watch a movie, and they all have passes, so a bit bad that we'll go to the park afterwards.
Are you a pass man?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had it for probably the last 5 years nonstop, and then a couple on and off before then.
Interesting. So where do you go? If you're just going to the cinema, you're going to see a movie with your little buddies, and then you're like, let's just dip into Disneyland. Where do you head for the casual local?
If it's up to me, I go straight to Star Tours. That's my first stop.
Mm-hmm.
If the line's too long, then I'll go we'll go right into the Star Trader to see if they have new figures, new toys. I mean, I have to take a look just in case there's something new that I didn't know about and throw down whatever money I have.
Have you seen they've got a remote-controlled mouse droid now?
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook, but I haven't been into the shop since they introduced it. Kind of want to get it.
Yeah, what size is it? Is it life-size or is it a bit smaller?
I think it's full-size. I've got a friend that works for Disney, and from now through February, they get 40% off. So if I bring cash, I can just give it to him to buy for me. I may come home with it tomorrow. We'll see if I like it once I see it.
Well, that's
like they're not sold out.
That's one of the, I don't know, just one of those, you know, I would say the perfect use of the license. Like, you know, it's just like, yes, that is the perfect toy. You've got like a remote control prop from the movie in that size.
In the right size,
like
that, exactly.
Yeah, like having the Tauntaun sleeping bag. Stuff like that. It's just like, oh, that's perfect. You've done such a good job. Such a good job.
I want one of those really bad.
I got one. I got one for my birthday.
That's awesome.
Not last year. Wait. Was it for my birthday then? Yeah, it must have been. It was a really late... I got it last year, a very belated birthday present. And, I'm not sure when I'll be camping again, but I desperately want to get in that thing. I desperately
want... Maybe Comic-Con?
Yeah, maybe, but... Oh, it should... I don't know, because... Or maybe... D23 because
possibly D23, yeah,
because they're the week after this year, and I don't know, I don't like, it seems like they want to shift stuff to that rather than to Comic Con, but I don't like, as far as publicity goes, I don't think that's the best idea, but if they, I don't know how, like, have you ever been to D23?
Yeah, I go every year, but the last two D23s, I was only able to go one day on the last day, and I missed everything. And I wasn't even there for the Star Wars Land announcement. I came home from D23 and saw the newspaper on my front porch that said Star Wars Land in big letters. I was like, how did I miss this?
And what's it like? Like, it seems like it's a far more corporate Disney experience rather than the ramshackle Comic Con, you know, like just all the, you know, like I love all those sketchy booths and stuff.
They have that too. They have tons of booths of just people selling Disney stuff.
So they do have independent stores and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. So it's like Comic-Con, just much, much smaller. So a much smaller space. And then they'll have tons of Disney-related booths with video games or whatever they've got coming out. They had, like, life-size Rebel figures that you could take photos with. I remember that. And then you get to the other side, and it's just little small booths of people selling stuff like we saw when we were in New York.
Okay. What about do they have – like, you know, I'm just interested. Do they have sort of like the parody T-shirts there? Like, is there a noticeable lack of that sort of stuff there, or does it sort of slide through anyway?
That's a good question. I can't remember. I don't know how much policing they do of like what you can sell. Because I remember like lots of the booths selling, you know, they'll have one with Funko Pops, they'll have one, they've got a ton where all they sell are Disney pins because the Disney pin traders go crazy for that stuff. And it's just walls and walls of corkboards with pins.
Oh, yeah.
So lots of official stuff. But I can't remember if they have any of the kind of like bootleg Disney stuff. It's a good question. I know who I can ask. Yeah, the guy I'm going with tomorrow, he's worked for Disney forever, and he's one of those that if they were selling stuff that was bootleg, he'd be really upset about it. So I'll ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, not so much bootleg, but you know, like just the parody.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. But yeah. Stuff that's Disney-esque, but not actually made by Disney. And yeah, parodying. I bet they did. I don't feel like it was really police what you could and couldn't sell. I didn't think it was. It's a good question. But then I always, like I said, the last couple of times I went, I didn't get to, because I was coming in from another conference. So I didn't get to stay very long, so I didn't see everything. I was like running up and down the aisles trying to see as much as I could in, you know, 4 hours. This year, luckily, the conference that I always have to go to is on a different week, so I'll be able to go. It won't interfere with Comic-Con or D23, the first time in a while.
Nice. Alrighty, man. We'll have to catch up when I'm over for a few weeks before, and then I'm back for Celebration, etc. But thanks for doing this little test. I'll put this at the end so people have got just the proof. This is a new segment I like to call Not My Fault.
Secret show.
Oh, yeah, I think that show was a little bit too secret. But, yeah, thanks for calling in, and thanks for all your help, buddy.
No problem.
Now go write show notes about this.
Absolutely.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.